This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Full practices is such an interesting thing that we've forgotten make a difference in the way football looks. Like, we are sitting finally at the beginning of training camp understanding that the product of the NFL this year is going to look much different, but it may look a lot more like what we're used to. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Jason Fitz, Bart Scott. We're in for the guys.
Change?
Yeah, I did a wardrobe change. It's a little chilly in the studio. I'm not going to lie. A little chilly. I'm drinking a lot of water, trying to take care of my voice, right? Like, all of these things. A little chilly, Bart. Like, you're just, like, I need, I don't
my
even
head,
know
my,
radio.
My hands are number two. They must did that to try to wake my eyes up.
They're just giving a little jolt of energy. So I just, you know, with the Cowboys reporting, and we've been talking all week about camp this weekend, the Buccaneers have been, will be reporting. We're asking you guys, you can chime in, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, who's the biggest threat to the Buccaneers this year in the NFL for the Super Bowl. But, you know, I think about what we just heard. We need camp. We need practice. We need, like, in the sense of normalcy, but also, to me, I keep looking at what we saw last year. And I say at some point we have to crumble, like, just crumple up rookie performance. We have to crumple up free agents that joined teams last year. Like, so much difference in the way preparation went last year. I think we're finally going to be able to relax and say, hey, let's see a normal NFL offseason that leads to a normal NFL season.
Man, that's a very great point that you put up, right? Because, you know, what people don't understand the protocols, these guys were never together, right? They walkthroughs and stuff were different. They would go home and have meetings on Zoom calls, right? So you miss that chemistry. You miss that communication when you're in the back and you're able to sit next to your teammate. And it may just be you and him working together on a certain play, and you have the defense coordinator, offense coordinator breaking a play down, and he's breaking down the big picture, but you're able to communicate with your friend or your teammate because we all sit together in groups. So I'm able to, like, for instance, David Harris or Ray Lewis, we can say, hey, man, if this happens again, I want you to play it like this. This is how I see it. So you get the details, right, and the nuance of how you see things collectively. All that was lost last year. All the chemistry, being able to expand packages, right? You have to keep things tight because what happens is a great coordinator or a great coach gives you the tools of the toolbox, and you have to know which tool to pull out. But you only know that by getting repetitions and being able to get put in these situations, whether it's in practice, whether it's in a walkthrough, and of course, the game. So I think we're going to see a much cleaner, crisp season this year, but also we're going to see more refined and more expanded packages and more creativity.
Now, one of the things that I love about my job, and one of the coolest things about working at ESPN, is getting to talk to former players. Like, as a fan of the game that now gets to cover the game, when you get to sit down and talk to a bunch of guys that really know football about what's happening in a football play, it's so interesting to me. But one thing I think we forget sometimes is there are a couple of human elements to this. Number one, being an NFL player in many ways is like being in school constantly. You're constantly watching, reading, rehashing everything, breaking things down. Like, you're constantly in school. So for everybody that has watched their own kids in school on Zoom over the last year and said, well, it just feels different.
Right.
How has it felt to NFL players? And then even when you've been in the same room last year, there had to be some hesitance when you're thinking, okay, are we allowed to be here? Can we not be here? We're wearing masks. Are we not wearing masks? Are you, like, are you sick? Am I sick?
Yeah.
So you take all of these extra things. And I know most fans listening are just sitting saying, I don't care. Go out and do your job. Nothing in life is that simple.
Right.
The human element really impacted last year's NFL season. It's got to feel different this year because you can get back to having the opportunity to, like, break it down with everybody.
Stay extra. I tell people all the time, if football was taught in school, most people would fail, right? And I'm just talking about the bookwork of it, right? I'm talking about drawing plays and being able to say who's responsible, right? You have to know what all 11 do. You got to know what you do. But also, one shift, one motion changes everything. So one defense literally can be probably about 20 different things based on, you know, the movement, the audible, the line front, if the tight end's on, if the tight end's off, if he shifts over, all this needs to be communicated. And by the way, it's a consequence if your communication's bad. One, you give up a big play, you may lose your job. Or two, somebody might night-night you because you don't see that somebody's outflanked you and they're about to come ear-hole you inside of your temple and you may be going to sleep for about 5 to 10 minutes.
It's funny, you know, you mentioned that. And for me, when I spent so many years in music, I remember we had one show that I was playing with the band where the power went out completely. And I mean the entire we were playing an outdoor festival, I think it was in Arizona. It was so hot, everything overheated.
Yeah.
Speakers went out. Lights went out. Everything went out. It was like still daylight. And at that time, I looked around at everybody, immediately said, okay, let's move from here to here. We're all going to do this in front of this group. Like, I knew exactly what to do because I've been in the music business since I was a little kid. So you look at it and say, there's no variable here I'm not ready for. I flash forward to when I first started at ESPN. Something went wrong on a radio show, and I don't remember what it was. But I had no idea how to handle it. And, you know, you look at it and say, God, no matter what you're in, at some point life experience and then getting the reps matter, you know. And you flash forward. I was doing OTL for us like a year and a half ago, and we had all these issues live on TV. And I knew exactly what to do because you've been through it. I think what we have to remember, no matter whether you make widgets or spreadsheets for a living, whatever it is, at some point repetition matters. And being in the situation with your teammates, your work, your coworkers matters. We didn't have that last year. And when I hear Zeke and when we hear the Cowboys talking about the way things went last year and you hear them say we need practice, I think there's a lot of reasons. Like, fundamentally, you need it to get better. Like, there's a reason it exists. But also, you need it for normalcy. You need it for consistency. You need it for, like, habits. Like, it all just sort of makes sense to say, hey, whatever we saw last year, it'll be different.
Yeah, let's throw it in the trash. And mainly speaking, we talk about the defense of the Dallas Cowboys, right? Because I've been in Mike Nolan's system. It is so many shifts and checks and audibles within that system that if you're a dumb football team or you're unsure and you don't pull the trigger, as soon as you see the shift motion or something, you're lost. You're lost. And I think a lot of that last year for them was a lack of communication or miscommunication. So what happens is now you're afraid to say anything because you start farming your own land. You saying, I'm not going to say it. If it's your job. You see, what happens is, right, you can be out there and you can forget to make your particular check, right? But if I'm next to Ray Lewis knows that I'm supposed to make a check, right, because this is a system that he's been in since he's been in the league. So he makes the check for me. When you don't, if you're unsure and he's unsure, don't nobody say nothing. And then what happens is you give up the big play, and that's what happens. Now they have the opportunity to have an offseason. Dan Quinn's going to bring in a system. It's not as complicated. It's more about being in the right place and playing and being simple and just performing at a high level than it is as far as, you know, out-tricking everybody.
Well, and to that end, you know, I expect players to come out, especially players that were disappointed with last year, with a different edge this year. Ezekiel Elliott, the Cowboys running back, talked about last year's struggle and what it means for this year.
The hardest part about last year is just kind of feeling like you let your teammates down, and, you know, that hurts. And, you know, I want to make sure that I put my best step forward and do everything that I need to do to help this team win. I mean, you got to experience the lows to enjoy the highs. So, I mean, definitely had some lows last year, so I'm ready to experience the highs this year.
And that comes back to, again, last year, new coaching staff. Like, if you're the Cowboys, if you're a Cowboys fan, you think about last year and virtually everything was lost because you got a new coaching staff bringing in a new system. And through the process of a new system, you also don't have normal meetings. You don't have normal opportunity to break down film, and you're doing it all on Zoom. And I would love to live in a world where that was effective, but I just don't know how effective it is. And you said, you know, you can have a dumb football team that doesn't communicate well. And a few years ago, a buddy of mine said, look, I grew up always hearing there's a difference between book smart and street smart, right? Yeah. Like my brother, street smart. I was book smart.
Alvin Mack.
Yeah, there's a difference between. But I would also say we have to remember there's football smart too. And like there's different variables of football smart. And part of the skill of coaching is trying to figure out where your guys are on that spectrum and making sure that you're getting everybody lifted to the same communication. I can't imagine, to your point, you mentioned earlier, every shift creates a change. What happens if you and I are on the same team? I see the change one way, you see the change the other way. I think we saw a lot of that last year.
Yeah, to that point, man. And you talk about Ezekiel Elliott maybe trying to do too much. because their leader, Dak Prescott, goes down, and then he's fighting for yards. And when you fight for yards, you expose the football, right? And I think that was the issue with the problems. And also, he did have COVID, right? So, you know, adjusting from COVID as a running back, you're having to worry about your breath and not really having the energy. So now you add that to the fact that you're fighting for extra yards. Then what happens is the ball gets a little loose away from your core because you're not in shape, and the ball comes out. You know, he's reporting the camp at 218, the lightest since his freshman year of high school. So that tells you that he's ready to go, and also he's ready to, you know, understand that as you get older, the pounds have to come off because your ability to recover is a lot longer.
The breaking news there is he was 218 his freshman year in high school. I mean, that is a big boy right there. Like, I was a solid 120 pounds my freshman year in high school.
Well, you know, when you tattoo your tum-tum, you know you're about that eating life.
Okay. Tattoo your tum-tum? That's where we're going? Tattoo your tum-tum?
Well, I got kids. I'm sorry.
I mean, no. It's part of the charm of Bart Scott. I love tattoo your tum-tum. That's like one area I would never tattoo, though, because like I'm the first to admit my weight fluctuates too much. So like I'd feel good about that tattoo like one day out of every, I don't know, 6.5 years. Yeah. And I'd be like, oh.
Yeah,
like
you put a face on it. It looks all nice and tight and look like it's frowning the next day because your stomach's drooping.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd crop top it one day every 6.5 years and make that my profile pic. All right, it's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, Bart Scott, Jason Fitz. We're talking about the Cowboys because they're in camp, and obviously the Buccaneers take camp this weekend, and it led to some controversy with us, maybe a little infighting with us and our friend Mike Tannenbaum earlier, as he said this on GetUp about who the biggest threat is to the Buccaneers.
Dak Prescott, they're going to win the division. They are the biggest threat in the NFC to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're going to be a top five offense. They're going to get back three offensive linemen. I think Dan Quinn's going to make a massive impact on the defensive side of the ball. So I think this is going to be a very successful year for them. I think Dak Prescott is going to be a top five quarterback. He has won playoff games, Dan, just as a reminder, something that Matt Stafford hasn't done. And I expect this team to compete against Tampa Bay in the NFC Championship game.
I mean, just the look of disdain on Bart Scott's face.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't understand the Matthew Stafford hate, right? It's not like Dak Prescott's been to the playoffs like all the time. What, he's been there twice, two seasons? He's been around for a little bit, too. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, listen, this can be a good team, but this division goes from the NFC least to, I think, the NFC beast. Right, because I think that Washington is going to be much improved with Fitzmagic, whatever you want to call him over there, because he has a way of like performing at such a high level that you buy in on him and you start depending on him. Then he lets you down. Right now, they're in a newlywed phase, and they have the best defense. They don't have like a good defense. They have potentially a great defense, potentially a historical defense. When you think about Jamin Davis coming in, giving them that athletic guy that can play in space, that can give him help against tight ends. But that front four, when you can double everybody or you can start doubling people because you know that your four pass rushers can create havoc, not just from the edges, but from the interior as well. That, listen, you can have a great offense and still have a good season. If you have a dominant defense, you can have a bad offense and still be effective. I did it with Baltimore. We talk about the 2000 Baltimore team, and people, for everybody says you can't win that way anymore. The game is different. You know, hogwash, right? You know, this is just a modern day. You know, what we see today is what the run and shoot was for people back in the day. It's what the Buffalo Bills, the shotgun with Thurman Thomas and Jim Kelly was, right? It's something that now everybody's doing. Defenses will adjust, and you still, if you have a defense, it usually comes down to can you stop 4th and 1 or can you pick 4th and 1 up? And when you have a dominant defense who can win consistently on a consistent basis with as many times as people drop back and pass now, the greater the opportunity for something bad to happen.
It feels like the Washington football team really built their defense. It's almost like they're watching the game plan of the 49ers and saying, hey, let's build this dominant way over here, and then all we have to do is get pretty good quarterback play, and we'll put ourselves in the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is how you get into the conversation. Tell us who you think the biggest threat to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are this year. I got to say that fully so people don't think we're talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. Mm-hmm. All right, in the meantime, I'm going to get your thoughts on a team we haven't talked about yet, but first, Jason in Phoenix apparently he's got harsh words for you, Bart. Jason, what do you got, man? Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Bart. Hey, you know, I'm from Michigan. I'm living in Phoenix, but I'm from Michigan. And I think you owe everybody in Michigan, especially Barry Sanders, an apology for putting Matt Stafford in the same sentence, comparing that boy to Barry Sanders.
No. Go ahead, Jason.
Fine. Go ahead. But my question is, you're talking about arm talent, and then you're talking about how the defense has to react all these different ways off one shift and everything like that. I always felt like that was kind of where Stafford fell short. This is the mental part of the game. He has all the arm talent, but it's almost like, and I also want to say, we're going to be better this year. Our record's going to be better this year with Goff over Stafford. It's almost like Chad Pennington and Jeff George.
Hey, Jason, remember when you heard me say, I don't know if you listen, how often you listen, I talk about dumb football players? I believe Jared Goff is one of those dumb football players, and that's why McVay got frustrated with him. You know why they used to get to the offensive line and scrimmage so fast? It's because so McVay can give him the answers to the test because the coach can communicate with the quarterback up to 15 seconds. I think he got tired of it. It was fine as you know his early in his career, but at year four, year five, after we give you money, I still have to give you the answers to the test. I can't give you the tools to the toolbox. You don't know what to do. He got frustrated, and you hear him. What did he say about Matthew Stafford? All he does is talk about and glow about his football acumen. Just how that's because he has a real quarterback now. So you think that you're going to take a dumb quarterback and put him on a bad team with maybe the worst roster and he's going to be able to be effective? No, it's going to be even worse. And I'm not putting Matthew Stafford and Barry Sanders in the same category. I'm saying if Barry Sanders can't do it, what do you expect from Matthew Stafford? Barry Sanders only won one playoff game, right? And then they went and got destroyed by Philadelphia, right? So the fact that Matthew Stafford not winning a playoff game is Tannenbaum's argument. I'm saying, well, you expect him to be that much greater than Barry Sanders.
I mean, I you just were preaching. You just took us all to school like that. I'm with you on that. And, you know, it's funny, fan bases kind of pick and choose what they love or hate about their quarterback when realistically we all want to have Aaron Rodgers as our quarterback, somebody like Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. But it's amazing how often, well, this guy, you know, he's smart, but he doesn't have the best arm talent, or he's got the arm talent, but he's not smart enough. When in fact, most quarterbacks are just pretty good.
Yeah, see, but this is what Jason failed to realize. While I'm talking about all this, he's seeing me as a Jet and a Raven. He doesn't realize amongst his name, we had Jason from Phoenix, Detroit native. I still have a 313 Michigan license. Never ever changed my license over.
Woo!
All my cars are registered in Michigan. I have a home in Michigan. So when I speak, and I'm speaking about Matthew Stafford and the Lions organization, I'm speaking from a fan and as a former NFL player.
Well, let's stick with that then, because Andrew in Detroit wants to chime in on all. You got all the Michigan love coming your way, Bart. Andrew, thanks for calling the show. What do you got, man?
Man, come on now. We seen Matthew Stafford all these years. He has some of the greatest arm talent out there in the game by far. But the man has issues between the head. When he has an easy check down to go ahead and get the first down, he would prefer to go downfield and take the long shot. That is going to make the coach for the Rams lose his mind, because he's going to tell him, why not take this shortstop, get the first down instead of always taking that deep shot?
Hey, Andrew, tell me how many times in his career, I think he was with the Lions for 11 years, correct? 11 years?
12 years.
Twelve years. Out of 12 years, tell me how many times he had a 100-yard rusher. In 12 years, tell me.
Okay.
No, tell me. Give me an answer.
In 2 years. In two years. I can hear that.
He was there for 12 years. He had a 100-yard rusher. Eight times.
I think about 1,000-yard rusher, but I understand.
No, 100.
That.
I'm talking.
So he's also had one of the best receivers of our lifetime. He's also had other weapons around him, and he also has had defenses at point in times. Matthew Stafford didn't get the job done on a lot of situations.
This to me, though,
he
like,
took you to the playoffs with Caldwell.
This is the maddening part of this is, like, again, we pick and choose our battles, right? He's talking about the fact that Matthew Stafford doesn't check down, right? And then as a Raiders fan, the argument is, all Derek Carr does is check down all day long. Like, we want to have our cake and eat it too. Like, you're talking about somebody that threw for over 4,000 yards and 26 touchdowns last year with Detroit. Like, a really close friend of mine, sports writer years ago, said, take your favorite team and ask yourself, how many players on this team today would start for a playoff team? Just go across the entire roster. How many of them would start across the playoff team? I'm not talking about one wide receiver. I'm not talking about having one weapon that you can go to. Look at the entire lineup. Like, the Lions are a poorly, and have been many, many years in his career, a poorly constructed roster. Like, what do you – we all want a quarterback.
We had Calvin Johnson. Who else? Name another one.
I mean, we all want our favorite team's quarterback to be a guy that single-handedly wins 13 games.
games. Guess what? That doesn't – there's like four of those. So if that's what you really – maybe I'm using that.
That's the bar. Yeah, if that's the bar.
If that's the bar, then be prepared for an entire lifetime of just absolute misery because you're not going to hit it. Like most teams are shooting for a quarterback that's good enough to win you games when they have the right pieces around them. That's real.
Right. I mean, don't miss me if he had Calvin Johnson. Okay. They were putting four people on Calvin Johnson, and he still was making a connection with Calvin Johnson. Who else did he have that was playing on the other side of Calvin Johnson? Marvin Jones? Like, come on, man. Matter of fact, Marvin Jones came afterwards. That was his number one receiver, and he still got you 4,000 yards. I think it's only been a couple of years when he hasn't had 4,000 yards. He's threw for 5,000 yards twice. And guess what? I can't check the ball down because guess what? My defense can't stop nobody. We down by 30.
Oh, God.
Check it down. You're down by 30.
I mean, it is the picking and choosing we do on the metrics of quarterbacks as fans is maddening. The worst thing any fan base can feel is when you finally feel like you got your guy, and then all of a sudden you decide that your guy is good, and now he should be, like, insane. He should be a Hall of Famer. He should be the best in the league. Realistically, if you've got a quarterback that's actually pretty good, like top 10-ish in the NFL, yeah, you're winning. Like, I totally don't understand the logic on it. But you guys are fired up. 888-SAY-ESPN. The lines are packed. We'll let you guys keep chiming in on the show as we continue to go through and ask you who can really be a threat to the Buccaneers this year. We've got some great calls. We'll get to those in a minute. But coming up next, why the NFL's new memo may hit one NFL market harder than any other. We'll tell you about it after Bart tells you about O'Reilly.
Have a car problem but don't know where to go? Maybe you're not close to home when your car breaks down? Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts Shot Referral Program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shot wherever you are. Call O'Reilly location near you or visit O'Reilly.com and click find a repair shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center for your repairs.
Like, if the NFL was concerned at all about, like, the science behind the vaccine, there's no way that they would be putting any type of potential mandate.
I think the fact we haven't heard from the union tells me that they signed off on this.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We've been talking all day about the memo the NFL has sent to teams informing them that if an unvaccinated player, very clear here, if an unvaccinated player causes any sort of COVID spread that results in a game needing to be altered, the game will not be postponed. It will be forfeited. It will result in a loss for the team, and it will result in the team that loses having to cover any costs involved with that. This is a big statement, as remember, this is not the same rule. If a vaccinated player is part of an outbreak, then the league has said it will do everything it can to help mitigate the cost or a competitive advantage that could come from it. So there is a vast difference to the standard that the league will be holding players and teams with unvaccinated players on the roster, which leads to a really important question for so many of us. What's it do to Vegas? It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Bart Scott, Jason Fitz, sitting in for the guys. And we're going to head straight to the Goodyear hotline because there are times that you just pick up the, you know, the bat phone and you say you need help. And we need help here from ESPN Daily Wager expert Joe Fortenbaugh, one of our best. We mentioned the one NFL market that will be hit more than any by the NFL's memo. That's Vegas. So let's get the Vegas thoughts on it. And Joe, I'm going to start really simple here. So how is Vegas handling the NFL's memo regarding potential forfeitures if there's an outbreak among unvaccinated players? Like, how are they handling that right now?
Great question, Fitzy. Good to be with you guys. Good to be with you, Bart. I would say this, and this is going to be the most important message I try to get across as we have this discussion. If you bet season win totals, which is a bet over or under how many games a specific NFL team will win during the year. If you make bets like that, if you make any bets at all, know the rules at your sportsbook. No matter what sportsbook you're working with, know the rules because they vary. And because sometimes you can get into a situation late where you think you're winning, but it's either no action or maybe you're even losing. Here's a perfect example, right? 2 years ago when the COVID outbreak happened, I had a season win total bet on the Golden State Warriors under 50 wins. Okay, the Warriors were terrible. Steph got hurt early in the year. Klay wasn't going to play that season. Before the COVID outbreak even happened, the Warriors had lost so many games, it didn't matter. They were going to go under that win total. That was a winning bet. But then the outbreak happened, the season got shut down, and because the NBA did not play a minimum of 80 games, which was the rule at my sports book, the bet was no action. So it was a winning bet, but I didn't make any money off it. Still bitter, which is why I bring it up to this day. Point being, know your rules. So here are the rules at Caesars William Hill, who we do business with at ESPN. If you're making a season win total bet, that team needs to play all 17 games for action. So whether the COVID outbreak affects them in their locker room personally or whether it's an opponent and the game gets forfeited and they get the win, they have not played all 17 games. But as a result, bets are refunded. If it comes to player props, over, under, quarterback X throwing for 4,500 yards, that quarterback needs to appear in at least one game for it to count. So if he gets hurt before the season starts and misses all the games, it's no action. But if he appears in one game, it's action unless his team does not play all 17 games. So you could have a quarterback that's throwing for 400 yards every single week. You soar over the total, and then in week 18, final game of the season, the other team has a COVID outbreak. They don't play the game. There's a forfeiture. Boom, you end up getting your money back despite the fact that it was a winner.
Now, what happens if there's a parlay?
Okay, so if there's a parlay, what normally happens, and we see this with baseball too with rainouts. Say you have a three-team NFL parlay. You're going to go with the Jets. You're going to go with the Ravens. You're going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Jets' leg ends up winning. The Ravens' leg ends up winning. The Philadelphia game gets canceled. That, instead of being a three-game parlay, is going to just be reduced to a two-game parlay. They're not going to penalize you for that. So essentially, if you stood to win, you know, make a $100 wager and make X times five or whatever it would end up being, you just eliminate the third one from the equation that got canceled, and it's just a two-game parlay. That's what would end up happening. So you would end up getting paid, but the odds for a two-win parlay, not a three-win parlay.
Joe, we're talking to Joe Fortenbaugh. You can check him out, ESPN Daily Wager, also on Bet. And, you know, I guess I keep thinking about the economic impact. I mean, we've talked a lot today about the economic impact to the athletes, obviously the players. But, Joe, like, what's the economic impact to Vegas if they end up just essentially refunding all these bets?
Well, they're going to end up seeing a ton of action one way or another. The futures market is a big market for them. A lot of people like to come out and make their season win total bets. They like to bet teams to win the Super Bowl. That action's still going to stand. You know, whether or not the team wins the NFC, the AFC, their division, that's going to stand. So, it would hurt a little bit, but they're still going to see so much action on the individual games, right? Like what they see on Monday Night Football. A lot of us betting season win totals, that action comes from a lot of the pros that really want to get ahead of this market, because how many average people who don't do this for a living want to show up in Las Vegas in August, make a wager, and then have to watch that money sit there for the next 5 to 6 months, right? People do it, but they don't do it in massive amounts unless they're doing this for a living. So it would hurt a little bit, obviously, to have to refund that. But ultimately, remember, it's still like an interest-free loan. Like, that's the beauty of these futures wagers for the sports book. You come in and you bet, say, $1,000 on the Detroit Lions to go under 5 wins. That sports book's holding that $1,000 interest free until the end of the season. That's a pretty good deal for them.
So, Joe, obviously the Vegas community is used to dealing with COVID when it comes to setting lines week in and week out. But how does any of this impact sort of the way that their process works when they're trying to figure out week in and week out odds?
They had a really good situation last year where they got a chance to go through all of this and try to figure it out. I mean, a lot of times what you'll see are rules regarding individual games, such as the game has to be played the same week. So we saw stuff like that last year. I don't know what the perfect example would be, because I know when Tennessee got hit, games got pushed back a week or two. But if you end up getting a game pushed back 4 days, right? Like, say you're supposed to be the Thursday night game and you end up getting moved to a doubleheader on Monday or Tuesday, sometimes that should still count. Like, that game will still be action. But again, it's going to be like we see in a lot of situations. There's going to be rumors of a COVID situation. They're going to pull the number off the board so nobody can bet it until they get more information. Then they will re-release the line. Or if the game gets postponed, they'll just re-release the line down the line. So again, this all comes back to the original point here. If you're betting on the NFL, if you're betting on anything, make sure you know the rules. Feel free to ask the people at the counter to call the customer helpline. I know it's a pain in the rear end to have to sit there on hold for stuff like that, but know what you're getting yourself into in advance so you can attack the market properly.
Follow him on Twitter at Joe Fortenbaugh. Check out Daily Wager Tuesday through Friday on ESPN2 at 6 p.m. Eastern. Also, Game Day on ESPN Radio, Joe works on. Joe, you're everywhere. Always appreciate your expertise, man. Really needed you to come in and clarify this for us. We appreciate it so much.
My pleasure, boys. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Yeah, it's interesting, Bart, because what he just said there is so important. Not every sports book is going to handle this the same. But there's going to be a lot of people that have put a lot of money on the line that are going to find out that they hit all their bets, and because of a cancellation
season, like, hold up, man, I'm right here. I'm only one win away from my win totals.
I mean, and I'm like, I mean, I'm notoriously
sorry.
Like, I'm cheap. I know I'm cheap, but my God, like, if I thought I won a bet and then I found out I don't get my payout, even though I did everything right, like,
oh yeah, Attica, they'll have you. They're going to have you in the back. They're going to have you in the back. Like George Clooney in Ocean's 10.
I mean, this is just another layer, right? Because the NFL has so many partners now that are in the gambling industry. Yeah. This has to speak to part of why they put this memo out in the first place. Like, let's be clear. The NFL didn't do this because they're trying to cancel games. The NFL, in my mind, put out this memo so succinctly and clearly with such high demands, because what they're trying to do is make sure that if games are canceled, it's a catastrophic event for the players and the teams involved so that they can avoid it. I mean, that's the real of it.
Yeah, man, they're trying to make sure that they can have certainty, like everybody can have all the information, because all their partners outside of the TV partners, you talk about the gambling relationships, they need certainty, right? They need to know so they need to operate their business, or maybe they want to have some loopholes that they can have outs. And you know the NFL ain't about giving no money back.
Yeah, well, it's going to be – this is just the beginning of this conversation for sure. In the meantime, we want to have a conversation with you guys. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Caller roulette. You know how we do this. You guys hop on the phones. We get to have a little bit of fun. Caller roulette. It's the only way to finish the week. We'll do that after Bart tells us a little bit about Indeed.
The reasons to find your next hire with Indeed are starting to add up. Just look at the numbers. Instant Match searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver candidates whose resume fits your job description. They have 135 skills tests that go far beyond the resume to help you find the right candidate faster. And according to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than any other job site combined. So if you're wanting to multiply your employees and subtract the hassles of finding them, visit Indeed.com/credit.
It's time for Caller Roulette.
You know the rules. Don't ask us how we are.
We're good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Get in, say your name, and make your point, and ask the question.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. And don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Especially you, Line 5.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, ESPN News. Bart Scott, Jason fits in for the guys. We will get to call a roulette in just a second, but we have breaking news we want to get you right away. It's just been announced Cleveland's baseball team will be changing their name. Cleveland will no longer be the Indians. They are now going to be known as the Guardians. So Cleveland has changed their name from Indians to Guardians. They've revealed it on social media. They've got a cool video out there that shows some of the logo. I kind of like it, Bart.
Yeah, pretty cool.
I like the music guy in me that loves like a random record drop you don't expect. Yeah. Kind of hopes they just, the video they show doesn't say when they're debuting the actual stuff. I kind of hope they just come out, you know, next game. Play with Guardians gear on.
Just drop it, man. Just come out. You know, it's dope, man. I feel like, you know, it's been a rough couple of years when you think about what happened to the Washington football team and trying to make sure that you don't use any terms derogatory to a people. I mean, I think this is a great compromise. And the logo looks great. See, it's not that hard.
First,
I think we can think outside the box.
First big home run that skies into the air, Guardians in the Galaxy. It's going to happen. It's going to happen over and over and over again. All right. So
rule?
That's the breaking news. The Cleveland Indians are no more. They are now the Cleveland Guardians. We'll let you know if we can figure out when that will actually take place, but the announcement is official. All right. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Bart Scott, Jason fits in. You know what we're doing. It's a Friday. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun. Let's do some caller roulette. Are we ready to spin the wheel? Spin it. Okay. And around it goes. Line one. Ooh, we start just at the top. Line one. Thanks for calling the show. What do you got?
What up, though? Hey, guys got to listen to Tannenbaum, man. All he's basically saying is if these people on their roster show up, it's not a lot of teams that match up with them at talent-wise. Kill that 25-year narrative. Ryan Clark, go to bed with that. And the dude come on at 11 on a 10-day contract, kill that noise. You guys have a nice weekend.
What? So he's saying that if the Cowboys show up, there's not a lot of teams that are better. That's like
a lot of teams that are better.
And we're if my aunt had, never
we
mind.
We talk about the Buffalo Bills. We talk about the Baltimore Ravens. You talk about the Rams. You talk about the San Francisco 49ers. There's a lot of guys teams. I think they're right on par. If they play their best, they're right on par with Seattle.
There are question marks. And as I said yesterday, got to give equal benefit of the doubt to everybody. And my mom used to always say, if a frog had a glass behind, it would only jump once. So, you know, ifs don't work on that. A lot of them. All right, spin the wheel next. Cowboys haters out there. All right, let's – line six. What do you got, line six?
What's up, fellas? Kevin from Columbus, Ohio. Hey, I got a solution to this NCAA problem. If Texas, Oklahoma, well, when they do go to the SEC – all the Big Ten and ACC need to do is combine conferences. Can you imagine football and basketball with the TV rights would be like? The rest of the Big 12 could hook up with the Pac-12, I guess you can call it, and they can do the same thing. What you think about that?
Well, that's what we're talking about, right? We talk about from a Power 5 to like a Power 3. Now you want to make it a Power 2? I don't know.
We're burying the lead here. Was that Tone Loc or was that Bomani? It could have been either.
Mike Woodson.
I mean, it could have been either one. Look, I like the idea, frankly. Selfishly, I think it would be kind of interesting. I don't know how the Big 12 or the Pac 12 would feel about getting the rest of the runoff from the Big 12. I don't know that's necessarily enough to suddenly make, like, you're not suddenly doing cartwheels because you got, you know, Kansas coming in to the Pac-12. I'm just being honest. All right, let's spin the wheel. No offense, Kansas is going to blow me up now on Twitter. All right, let's go to line two.
Corey from New York. Hey, guys, I got two favorite teams, the New York Jets and the Michigan Wolverines. They're kind of both similar because when will we finally get a quarterback?
Oh, I think one believes
that they have one, right? I mean, when you think about Zach Wilson, you think about the ability that he had in college, and for them to let Sam Darnold go, their evaluation of Zach Wilson must have been pretty, pretty high. And also, they're doing something they didn't do for Sam Darnold. They're getting protection around him. They got a bunch of good running backs with a lot of potential. They have depth at the wide receiver position. You know, I think they're doing a good job. I think the addition of Morgan Moses with Becton and Vera Tucker, I mean, that's a start. And they still have a bunch of draft capital and a bunch of money to get anybody that's a cap casualty, you know, during training camp.
Now, that Vera Tucker's drafting was a steal, by the way. And look, I'll say this. To the Jets fan base, I would just plead for patience. Give it 3 years. Like, for once, give a quarterback 3 years to figure out if he's – and I don't care if he comes out and has the best first year or the worst first year ever. It's an adjustment to go from BYU to New York. So let's just let him adjust.
But no, I just gave a quarterback 3 years. So this is 6 years now. You're asking me to give a quarterback 6 years because I just gave one 3 years. They should have stuck with Sam.
Yeah, well,
he's got one year to figure it out.
Evan, I'm giving you 2 years. I think by next year, the Jets are ready to compete. Next year, I think this year they're going to surprise a lot of people because that offensive line is really,
you have
good.
Sat here for 2 days and glorified, pooed all over my Raiders fandom, and then you're going to sit here and tell me the Jets are going to surprise people? Let's place a friendly wager on which of these two teams has a better year. I'll take that all day.
I mean, the Raiders are supposed to be ahead of the process. They've been spending all John Gruden's money for 3 years now. This is really the first year for Saleh in that organization, man. I'll go with you because you're in a tougher division, so I will take that bet.
Oh, I'll take it. I'll take a nice dinner.
No,
nice dinner on my like. So we're talking like.
No, you got to get a Bart Simpson tattoo on your neck.
No, I ain't getting
like Bartman.
Maybe a Bart Simpson tramp stamp, but I'm not getting anything on my neck. You can't walk that back. I'm just saying Chili's. Like, you know, that's my version of a nice dinner. Like, you got that NFL coin. Like, you guys roll different. When I say nice dinner, suddenly I'm paying it off for 6 months.
I want to eat grass fed meat.
Oh, my God. Divas. The divas that we work with. Spin the wheel. Now I'm rooting against the Jets. Line five. Oh, we got line five guy. Come on, line five. What do you got?
Hey, so this is Eric from Grand Rapids. What are the odds that the Chicago Bears enter week 7 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers undefeated or one loss?
Ooh, undefeated, one loss. I'm really not familiar with their schedule.
Well, I mean, they're going to have one loss because they play the Raiders, I think, week 5. So we can just count that one. Book it.
But it all depends, too, if A-Ron is in the building.
They got the Bears have the Rams, then the Bengals, ooh, then the Browns, then the Lions, then the Raiders, then the Packers before they get there. So I would say the odds, don't tell Sarah Spain I said that, Spain and Fitz, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday on ESPN Radio. I'd say the odds are zero that they go in with only one loss.
It depends on that Rams game.
The Rams will beat them. The Browns might beat them. The Raiders will beat them. It's in Vegas. The Packers will beat them. It's the Packers. They got four losses going into that. I'm just throwing shade everywhere.
It might be Fields.
Yeah. All right. KJ and Z back Monday. Greeny coming up next. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.